Hi, I'm Chanel, one of the journalists at Manx Radio. Welcome to the latest edition of Manx Radio Newscast.
My name's Fatima Whitbread. I'm a former world champion, world record holder and Olympian athlete from the 80s. The campaign is to rejuvenate the care system sector. I use my lived experience as a young child. I was abandoned as a baby, some would say left to die, and a neighbour heard a baby crying in a flat, so she called the police, who came and banged down the door and rescued the baby, which was myself. And then I was made a ward of court and spent the next 14 years of my life in children's homes. And so my ministry today is all about, sport was my saviour. And through sport, obviously, I met the love of the Whitbreads, and I was fostered at the age of 14. Having spoken about sport, it was a wonderful opportunity, as it is for young people, to learn about life skills. And the National Sports Centre here have partnered up with the local authority, Corporate Parenting, for our children. There's about 80 plus children in the Isle of Man that needs extra loving care and support, and they've partnered up to offer them opportunities to come here at Sports Centre to be engaging with some of the sports that go on, which is really important, because obviously for me, I mean, that's what I found, you know, that was my saviour. And I think for a lot of young people today, it teaches them a lot of good skills, you know, about self-discipline, engaging, finding good role models, being safe in a safe environment, and being kept away from, being targeted and groomed, you know, and criminality. It's we have 27% of our under 21 year olds have been in the care system, or across the care system sector, have been, in the prisons. And there's a lot to do with the fact that they don't have an awful lot out there. So the idea is to engage them in sports programs. And not all children like sport. There's an arts program too. And be able to, you know, keep them focused, help to skill them up, and hope that they will take on jobs, coaches, physios, mentors, you know, even, you know, in doing, you know, physio treatment and all those areas where, you know, obviously groundsmen even, that are very needed, you know. And I think that the wonderful thing about Phantoms UK campaign is that it's about collaboration and partnership, and that's what's brought me here to the Isle of Man and working with Julie Gibney. And Julie and I are really passionate about supporting these young people and doing the best we can for them. You know, you currently don't have what I call legislation. You have good care, and the service that you provide is no doubt of high standard. But it's now time, I think, to move into the modern day and bring out legislation that protects these young people, and also form partnerships within the public side, in the private area as well, of bringing in companies. You've got big companies, you've got a gaming company here that could come and offer these young people a lifetime experience of aspirational days, or working alongside different people to offer them, you know, the opportunity of apprenticeships. And that's what it's about. It's changing and making a difference to these young people's lives so that they can break that cycle, and hopefully, you know, one day when they have a family of their own, you know, they will be able to move on and upwards.
Thank you for sharing your story. How important is it that children in care, I know you mentioned about there's about 80 children on the island in the care system. How important is it that they get that support that you had when you were growing up? How important was that support? How did that mold you?
Well, I was born in the 60s, and so it was quite different to what it is today. So I mean, back in the 60s, the children's homes there were like institutions. There was 25 children in the first home, and I can remember that the first children's home that I actually went to, I would always be looking outside in the car park which our playroom faced, and I would be anybody that came into the car park, I'd always say, is that my mummy coming to get me? It's tough times for these children, you know. making it you know, slightly more comfortable in the fact that the knowledge that they know that the people see them, they're seen, heard and valued, is really important, you know. And you know, the fact that also that we can bring projects like this one to the National Sports Centre and develop life skills for these young people and outlets, you know, is key, you know, for them moving forward. You know, they can have hope that there's something out there for them. You know, they're not going to history repeat itself. That's, you know, for me it was, you know, slightly different. You know, I mean, as I say, sport was my saviour, and I found the love of the Whitbreads through sport. My mother was a PE teacher, and a series of coincidences brought us together. But, you know, if you want to go on fatlimerscampaign.com and check me out, check out what we're doing with the care system sector and the rejuvenation of the care system sector, the summit next year. And also to support me and make a difference to these young children, because I'm walking Everest Base Camp on the 4th of May this year. And, you know, and if you help to share that information or contribute in some way, that will make a big difference to us, because all proceeds go to the children in the care system, and it also helps to create that awareness and the platform to get that message out there for our young people and helping them. It matters. All children and young people matter, and I think you can't do much more than give them a good start in life. Early intervention and inclusion is really key. And if you think that you've got room in your home and you've got space in your heart to open up and give these children a loving, secure home, that's the best thing you can give to a child. You know, and every child has the right to a safe and happy childhood.
Definitely. What was it about the island that attracted you here? So I know you mentioned, you know, why you brought it over, but what was it about the island that attracted you in terms of the care system?
Well, I mean, Julia and I have been talking for the past year, and we share the same passion, as I said earlier, and we really know that how important children are. They're our future. I mean, let's face it, it's about collaboration and partnerships. There is no legislation currently here, which is key moving forward. And we don't want to see 80 plus children is very doable in trying to place them properly in programs. But nothing stays the same forever, you know, and I think we need to think about the future, you know, to be able to secure the possibility of, you know, giving those young people life chances, you know, changing their life chances and improving, you know, their opportunities out there. And I think the only way you can do that is to have that legislation in place. Also, the government, local authorities, being, you know, corporate parenting. And bringing in the ask is really, what can you do to help us? You know, how can we best serve these children? Because currently, I think we foul them when we haven't got that collaboration and partnership. You know, we really need to work as a team and achieve that much more. And I think that National Sports Centre has shown that through their collaboration, it's given open up an opportunity for our young people to thrive. We don't just want them to survive, we want them to thrive and do well. And the only way we can do that is by coming together and working in partnerships.
And I understand you also want to see care leavers to have access to the NSC as well, free access to the NSC.
Yes, that is the partnership they offer, the NSC. They give free partnership for entrance for our young children to come here to engage with other people and try different sports. It's all about self-growth, confidence, life skills, you know, engaging and staying in a safe environment. And, you know, without these opportunities, we would lose a lot of our children, I think, off the wayside to criminality, because they get targeted very easily, and our young girls also get sexually abused because they're quite vulnerable. So we all have that moral and ethical responsibility to do what we can, and it's great to see that the National Sports Centre have stepped up. So kudos to them.
I know you mentioned criminality. Last year there was a report that was released into the care system, and then they did mention, you know, some kids said they'd like to see a little bit more support, and some kids did say, you know, they are criminal elements. So how would something like this, you know, taking the focus away from that criminality, from that, how will it help them, you know, mold themselves the way you did and progress or look towards, you know, getting further?
All young people need hope. I mean, that's a key. You know, they need to know that they're being seen, heard and valued. Without these opportunities, it's really hard for them to get a foot on the ladder. They come into the care system, or they're struggling with adversity, and they get locked in their own minds. And it's very hard to get out of that dark place, you know. And without, you know, the collaboration of people like the NSC and you know, also corporate parenting, which they need to take the moral ethical responsibility to support these children, they can offer them jobs. They can give them life aspirational experiences. Without those, you know, experiences, we find that these children fall off the edge of the cliff, and that's what we're trying to stop. You know, for me, it's no different. You know, sport was my saviour, and sport helped me find the love of the Whitbread family, and I'm one of the lucky ones. So that's why this is my ministry today, Fatima's UK campaign, which is turning around and going back to the care system and supporting these young people and local authorities and you know, and generally speaking with the nationalistic framework that I'm working with for our summit next year is to provide a better service, you know, in collaboration and partnerships to best serve those young people in the care system.
How did you push yourself, you know, back all those years ago before you even met the Whitbread family, when you were still maybe starting out in sport? How did you push yourself and keep yourself motivated?
Well, I mean, 14 years to be institutionalised is a long time. So, yeah, it was always a worry for me to think, what is it that, you know, I can do to get myself out of this situation? Because back then it was 16 being care leavers. And it was always being told to me, oh, you'll never amount to anything, you'll end up on the streets, because in the 60s it was all about prostitution and marijuana. So that, you know, I mean, was an awful, you know, prospect to be faced, you know, and thinking that, is that really going to be me, my life? Surely not. And at 11 years old, I remember watching Mary Peters, who was a pentathlete from Northern Ireland, and Mary won the gold medal in the Munich Olympics, and I thought, ah, there's something I can do. I could perhaps be an athlete and really be famous and live in a castle and drive Rolls Royces around. How wrong was I? But nevertheless, it gave me hope. It inspired me to, you know, that sport was something that I liked to do, and it was something that I could do to perhaps get myself out of the rut that I was in, you know, and not knowing what the future holds for you. And there's nothing worse, I think, you know, because these kids arrive in the care system, like myself, with a particular set of traumas and triggers, abandonment issues, neglect, sometimes physically and emotionally, you know, sexually abused. And it's really tough, you know, for them alone, which, you know, most of our young care leavers at 18 today have to go independent living, and we know that the statistics are 33% of them end up within the 2 years of living on the streets. It's a really tough task for them to, you know, one thing saying you go independent living, it's another thing being able to live an independent life. So this is why these programs are so important for them. It enables them to connect with people, have good role models. You know, they don't have the bank of mum and dad or aunts and uncles, nans and granddads, but what they can do is build a good foundation for themselves where they can get the skills they need, have a good role model, that somebody that will look out for them and support them and have got them, and being able to live independently, you know, and move forward without falling off the cliff or off the radar even, because some of our kids do fall off the radar. And at 18, the government stops having any further involvement with them, and I think that's far too young, you know. But here, the government needs to take more responsibility, and legislation needs to be in place, and corporate parenting. I mean, I think that's a must, you know, for survival, really, of the human race.
I think my last question would be, I know you mentioned legislation and the importance of legislation. What would be your message to the Isle of Man government in terms of the legislation?
I would say that I would implore you to do the best you can and be true to what all countries do. It is a global problem that we have with our young people and the care system and our most young and vulnerable children and young people in society today. You need to step up, take responsibility, to step forward, make sure you've got legislation in place, and also with the local authority to make sure they start stepping up and taking moral and ethical responsibility to do what's right by these young people. We're trying to build happier lives, better communities, and a nicer, kinder society. And investing in our children from an early stage, you know, and inclusion, and having these things in place can only improve the society as a whole. You know, they are the future.
Right. Now, today you've been speaking about empowering families and a multi-agency approach. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here, actually. Obviously, I'm here in my capacity as Fatima is UK campaign, and that's to help rejuvenate the care system sector and also the service that it provides for our young people in care and our care leavers, improving their life chances. And it's wonderful to be working with Manx Care on the Edge of Care initiative here, and to be able to, you know, speak amongst everybody and share that collaboration and partnership, and hope that we can improve these children's chances.
Right. Now, speaking about that, I know yesterday you spoke about legislation with me and the need to protect kids. Yes. What sort of legislation would you like to see in place?
I think the most important thing is they come aboard with what the rest of our country has with children's legislation, which protects those children, you know, coming into care. But also the local authorities taking on the responsibility of corporate parenting, because this is an area where they can help. You know, they have a moral and ethical responsibility to do the best they can for these young people, because these children are our future. You know, and these young people, I mean, they won't survive on their own. And if they're to have any chance of breaking that cycle, then they need to be protected. They need to have that partnership and collaboration with the local, the government and the local authority, and also the people. The awareness is so important for them, people out there, to understand that some of these young children, what is it we can do for them? Is there, if they can open their heart and their homes, maybe to give a child a loving, secure home, you know, fostering is so important, you know, and it's very rewarding at the same time.
Before I go into fostering, because I know you also spoke about fostering yesterday, looking in from the outside, from outside of the island, do you think it's, would you say they've dropped the ball by not having the legislation?
Or? No, I think what we need to think about is this is a much smaller island, so therefore, you know, obviously it's unfortunate that it's detached from everything else that goes on in the rest of the UK. But having said that, I mean, there's 80 plus children, which is a big difference between 110,000 children in the care system back home. The logistics of that is, it makes it a lot harder to get things done, where here in the Isle of Man, it makes it a lot easier. In order for Manx Care and the Edge of Care initiative to be able to, and the police, the social services, the carers and the schools, to be able to work cohesively, it would make sense to have legislation in place. And it would also make sense for the local authority to be a part of that, you know, and taking responsibility too for our young people in the community. And also the people that live here. I mean, it's all part of that collaboration, that cohesiveness of bringing together, you know, the island.
And with that, you also spoke about fostering, or you've been speaking about fostering, and I know you're very passionate about fostering as well. Is there a need here? Do we need more fosters here?
It's very important to think about our young children's opportunities of a secure, loving home. I mean, some of them, will still be integrated back into their own families with the support of the Edge of Care initiative. But having said that, some of them unfortunately will find themselves in the care system and kind of lost in a way. So what we're trying to do is initiate foster care support, and people out there in the community that may have had a family of their own, they've fled the nest, and they've got room in their home and they've got space in their heart to give that love and guidance to these young children. Why not think about it? It's a very rewarding job, and you know, every child deserves the right to a safe and happy childhood.
And I think my last one is, yesterday you put out a tweet where you said children in care on the Isle of Man are being failed and services need significant improvement. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, in the care system, we see so many times that children get fouled by the care system sector. And I think they're desperately trying to address that. And I think they need the support as much as the children. And I think this is where legislation can help them. This is where the local authorities, if they step up and take on their responsibility, which they have, you know, we all have that moral and ethical responsibility to do what we can. And it is a partnership, it's a collaboration, and it's the only way forward, really, to improve our life outcomes for these children. And and for one another to be able to support, you know, what we're doing. We're in it together, and I think the most important thing is that, you know, you achieve more by collaboration and partnerships.
Anything else you want to add or say?
I'd just like to say I've thoroughly enjoyed my stay here in the Isle of Man. I will be back again. I've written a book for the about a young Fatima in the care system. It's called My Bright Shining Star. It's to help young people to understand these children in their schools, and also to help young families or anyone that's thinking about fostering to see what, you know, what the flight in life of these children, what they go through, and how they can best help them. So I'll be back, and I'll be working with the book Waterstones, and hopefully be book signing nearer to Christmas. And it's all to raise the awareness for children, and the funds go to the children in the care system sector. So really good cause, one that's very close to my heart, and I hope you'll support me with Fatima's UK campaign with a summit next year in April 2025 at the Guildhall, and also my Everest Base Camp Challenge, which I'm doing on May the 4th, to raise the awareness again for children in the care system and much needed funds. So if you'd like to go on fatimascampaign.com, put that in the toolbar, and it will bring up my website, and hopefully you can go on my Just Giving page and support these young children and make a difference to their lives.
There we go. Right, can I start with your name and your title?
Yes, my name is Julie Gibney, and I'm the Assistant Director for Children and Families here in the Isle of Man.
Right, now, some important discussions have been going on today. You've also got Fatima from across, bringing her Fatima's UK campaign. Can you tell me about that?
So Fatima's campaign is about reinvigorating, reviewing the healthcare system for children. This is because obviously there's a lot of children in care over in the UK, and things don't always work in the way that people would expect them to. So Fatima's challenge, I suppose, is to bring people together, to collaborate, have a shared sense of vision, a shared passion to change things and make things better. So on the back of that, Fatima and I started speaking probably about 12 months ago, to ask her to come over here and support us, be the face of some of our campaigns, because obviously when you've got a platform and the lived experience that she has, she can provide something that we don't have here. She can give us that lived experience, she can tell us about the challenges and about how she overcame those challenges and became the champion that she is. So we were really interested in Fatima and I, with the same passion and the same vision for our children in care and care leavers, collaborating and bringing something together to try and make a difference.
Perfect. Right. And then can you tell me about today? Today is all about empowering families and a multi-agency approach. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So today is our Edge of Care conference, empowering families to thrive together. And this is an initiative that I think we started talking about and trying to plan probably about 5 years ago. Unfortunately, we didn't have the appetite, we didn't have, I suppose, the staff to move forward with that then. But for the past 12 months, 14 months, this initiative went live on a pilot scheme. So it's a shared initiative, multi-agency, obviously a collaborative approach, it can never be one agency. And the name of the service is Bridges. And that obviously is very apt because it tells you the story of we are trying to bridge the gaps in families, to support the families when they feel that they're in crisis and need some support to just get things on the right track again. And it's also a bridge. If children and young people do need to come into the care system, then we are that bridge, we are those enablers to try and help them to get back home when it's safe and appropriate to do so. So it's a very, very exciting day. It has been a long time coming, but the appetite and the motivation from across all agencies, you can feel it in the room. It's really exciting to be at this point.
Perfect. Now, yesterday when I spoke to Fatima, she mentioned legislation. She did mention that you guys have been working together over the past 12 months. And she said, you know, government needs to step up, it needs to come to the party, and you need legislation to protect children and young people. Can you tell me about that, you know, the need for it and how it would benefit the island?
I think in general terms, Fatima and I have been talking about legislation across the both across the pond and here, because although there is leave and care legislation and care leavers legislation in the UK, it's not really fit for purpose, which is why Fatima is working with lots of different agencies and ministers to try and review that. Here on the island, we do have children and young persons legislation, but we don't have care leavers legislation. The government have come on board with that. And it is part of the legislative programme, and we're hoping to have that definitely in train and planning and progressing that next year, 2025. So we're quite excited about that, because that will mean that care leavers are in legislation, so there is a legislative responsibility from all agencies, all members of government, to step up and show how you are a corporate parent for these children who are leaving care, and that is we need that. That's not to say that we haven't been working within good practice and moving things forward without the legislation, but the legislation just gives it a little bit more teeth and enables us to hold people to account against their responsibilities.
Maybe talk to me more about corporate parenting and, you know, the need or the importance of that.
So corporate parenting responsibilities, the principle of corporate parenting is that anybody who has responsibility for a looked after child, every government organisation has got a responsibility to that child. You should offer that child the same as you would offer your own children. So you need to ensure they have appropriate education, they have job opportunities, they've got appropriate housing. Financially, they are stable enough to move on into independence. So it's all of those responsibilities that you would have as a parent in your for your own children that you need to make sure that you are giving to the children that we have in the care system.
I think my last question would be, yesterday Fatima's account, she tweeted, children in care on the Isle of Man are being failed and the services need significant improvement. Would you like to comment on that?
That was a comment from the recent Ofsted report, and obviously within that there were aspects of some children in care being failed, and that was mostly around accommodation opportunities and the smooth transition from care to leaving care. There's been a lot of work across the board really trying to resolve that, and we have come a long way. There's still a lot to do. And obviously we link in with the DHSC and with government colleagues, and Kerry Sharp, who's our children's champion. So there is a collaboration, there's an understanding of what's needed. We just need to progress with that and move that forward.
Okay. If I can, I know I said last question already. If I can mention, just because you mentioned Kerry Sharp, I know I spoke to her, you know, during the Ofsted time. She said that 18 or 16 was too young for kids to be out on their own. And yesterday, Fatima also mentioned the age and it being too young for kids as well. Is that something that you also in talks about?
Yes, it does. Now, 18, nobody would disagree. Our own children very rarely leave home at 18. So 18 is quite young to become become independent. So they are then young adults, so they're no longer classed as children. But within that, we can provide as much support as possible for those 18 to 25 years when, yes, you are independent of the care system, but you're not yet able to live independently. So what we're working on within Manx Care and with government colleagues is how can we improve that between the ages of 18 and 25? What do we need to do? They are young adults, but what can we put in place to make sure they're appropriately supported to be able to live independently as they move on and as they get older into their 20s and become young adults? So there's a lot of thought and a lot of planning and a lot of work around that.
Perfect. Anything else you want to add or say?
No, just to say it's been really, it's been great having Fatima on the island. She brings a lot of innovation. She brings a lot of connections that she's going to link us up with that can support us on our care leavers journey. So we're really appreciative of that. She's also invited a number of us to a summit next year. And it's part of Fatima's UK campaign, and that again is a collaboration, a sharing of ideas, a bringing together of politicians, key children's charities and key leaders and innovators across services to try and see what we can do to make a difference.
Okay. My name is Jonathan Worley. I'm the Chief Executive Officer at St Christopher's.
Right, now today Manx Care held an event about empowering families and the need for a multi-agency approach. Can you tell me about that and, you know, how today had gone?
Yeah, today's been a really successful event just because we brought so many people together with the passion to create brighter futures for children who are on the island, and those children who perhaps their needs are not being fully met by their parents and might, as one alternative to their care arrangement, be brought into the care system. So we're working in new ways as a multi-agency group to support parents to meet the needs of their children, to have their own needs met, so children can remain at home in those loving environments and have really good outcomes.
Perfect. And we also have Fatima Whitebread here. And I mean, she has lived in care. She's got the experience. And she also wants to, you know, as she said yesterday, or put it to me yesterday, rejuvenate the care sector as well. You know, having someone like her here, you know, being able to speak to her and get from her experiences, you know, how is it for you as the care home director?
Yeah, when you meet somebody with the energy and the passion and the commitment that Fatima has got, it's always inspiring. And when it's somebody that comes from that own lived personal experience of being brought up in the care system, that's been there, has done it, and knows it, you know, better than somebody like me who manages those services but I've never lived it, it's always inspiring to hear somebody that's achieved so much. And it inspires me to think, you know, how can I motivate the services that I'm responsible for so that we can be those people that inspire the young people in the care system so they can fulfill their dreams and meet their own full potential.
Right, and yesterday when I spoke to her, she spoke about advocating for legislation for young children, about for children and young people. As the CEO of St. Christopher's, is this something you'd also like to make the call for, something that you'd perhaps back?
Yeah, I mean, legislation is a part of what's needed because that informs the statutory responsibilities, but it is a small part of it. What we need is really transformation in terms of resource application, and that's what really makes a difference, but legislation is an important part of that. Here on the Isle of Man, there is a need to look at the support that's given, particularly to young people that leave care, and how we make sure that there's enough resource goes into fulfilling that commitment. When a child's brought up in the care system, it is at a significant cost. So you need to make sure that when they reach 16, 17, 18, you don't undo all that good work by then having a lack of resource there to allow them to go on and to fully achieve their potential. Most of us don't go on and achieve our potential, you know, when we're 18, 19, it's much later. So why would we undo the support that's been done over a number of years before then? So that's where change is really needed.
Right, I know Fatima said to me yesterday that 18 is too young, and I know last year when I spoke to the children's champion, Kerry Sharp, she also mentioned, I think it was 16 or 18, that is still too young, and you also mentioned that as being one of the challenges. You know, is work being done to kind of look at further support until they're maybe at a more older age?
Yeah, at St Christopher's we apply something called staying close. So all the young people that we work with, we commit ourselves to a lifelong relationship with them, so that when the care period comes to an end, we don't say goodbye and walk away, but we're there for them. And in the same way that I'm in my mid-50s and occasionally I'll still ring my dad and say, Dad, I'm struggling with something, give me some advice. Where do our young people go to in their future years? So there's no cut-off for that. We don't see there's an end date to that. But there is a need, I think, to look at how resource is applied, and we'd certainly support that, to look at particularly around the accommodation needs, which is a finite resource on the island, and how that's affordable and it's appropriate and it's safe for young people is a key issue, not just on the Isle of Man but across the UK as well, where we run other services. So it's not something that's unique here, but there is certainly perhaps a different set of priorities, given that it's an island with smaller kind of finite resources.
What would you like to see?
Well, I would love to see there being that commitment to recognising that young people in care are not a part of the problem. And often sometimes we recognise, or it's felt as though young people that are in care are the troubled children. But the stats are there. They say that the reasons for young people coming into care is quite often it's not their needs that are not being met, it's the parents' needs. And we shouldn't be demonising children in care, but we should look at how we support them, how we give them brighter futures, how we commit to them, and how we see them as valuable contributing members of society.
Perfect. There was a tweet that Fatima tweeted yesterday, and Julie did say that it was actually a quote from the Ofsted report. So she tweeted that children in care on the Isle of Man are being failed and the services needed significant improvement. But when I spoke to Julie said that's one of the quotes that was in the Ofsted report. Now, we know the Ofsted report, we know the findings of it last year. How's work going to improve, you know, some of those recommendations?
Yeah, it's always easy to focus on those negative points of many comments of praise that came out of the Ofsted, so we shouldn't forget that. And there's some great innovative work being done here that the rest of the UK and other places should take a look at and interest in, because there's examples of excellence here. Yes, there's need for improvement, there always is. Work is being done to deliver that. Some of that is to do with recruitment and training and of staff to deliver those services, which we've worked hard to do. We'll resolve those issues. And working collectively, importantly, as a part of a multi-agency team, recognising that the work that's done to support children in care is not the responsibility of one individual, but it's a whole island's responsibility. And so the work that's been done here is of the highest standard.
Anything else you want to add or say?
No, just that, as I said, if there's people watching this or listening to this from off the island, they should take an interest in what's been done here. Because, as I said, there's a lot to be praised about the innovation, about the high standards, and the great outcomes that are achieved for children here on the Isle of Man.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.